Hi, this is Laura Benjamin, and I am delighted to have on our call today one of our very special guest expert interviews. I'm pleased to have Doug Butler with us from Butler Professional Horseshoeing Schools. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. The reason we're interviewing Doug today, I think it's very important for folks to be aware of all of the potential career opportunities and business development opportunities that are out there. And Doug has a very lengthy background and very extensive knowledge in the farrier and horseshoeing business. And so, Doug, let's get started with our interview so folks can learn a little bit more about you and the benefits of becoming a farrier. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background, how you got started in this line of work, and what you do now?
Okay, my family's always had horses, and for generations our family's had blacksmiths in it, and so every person, you know, sort of has to find their own way. And as I watched the blacksmith come out to our place as a kid, I began to be interested in that and wanted to work on it and become my own farrier and do my own horses. And then later I was taken out to Arizona by my father, who was from there, and worked on some ranches, and I got the cowboy bug, and I wanted to be a cowboy, and found that to be a cowboy, you had to be able to shoe your own horses. And so I applied to a school, and at that time there was only one in the country in California, and it had a waiting list, and I went to the school, and then I got very interested in it. My teacher, Mr. Ralph Hoover, had several inquiries from different people about teaching schools in various parts of the country, and he didn't want to go, so he said that he would teach me how to do it, and he sent me to these various places, Montana and Pennsylvania and Canada, to teach classes. And then I became more interested, and then I went on, got some advanced degrees, and taught at universities for a number of years. My first class was in 1964 at Montana State University, mm-hmm. and I just finished the last class about a week ago. So I've been doing it over 45 years, the teaching part, and then I've been practicing and shoeing horses for more than 55 years.
Oh, my gosh. So you've got a lengthy background and great experience with this. Can you, Doug, now, for people early on in the call who just want to go to your website and take a look at who you are and what you do and get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, our website is www.butlerprofessionalfarriorschool.com, and my email is doug@dougbutler.com.
Very good.
And our phone number is 1-800-728-3826. And if you call that number, you'll get my son Jacob, who is the director of our school and also an experienced farrier. He's been teaching for 8 or 9 years and practicing for 15 years. And then we have another son, Peter, who's involved in it. He's been teaching for 4 years and practicing for 6 years.
Excellent. Excellent. Great family background. So now, for those folks who are in betwixt and between with career options, why would they want to consider becoming a farrier, or should they?
Well, it depends on their likes and dislikes and background. If they like to work with their hands, they like to work with horses, they like to work with people, I think there's really no other career in the horse field that gives you a better return for your investment. Many people seem to be interested in working with horses, and the number of horses has increased dramatically in the last few years. But none of them really offer you the kind of income and freedom that farrier work does. Just recently I received an email from the editor of the American Farriers Journal, and he said that they had done a survey this year. The annual gross income for farrier school attendees averaged about $79,192.
Wow.
And then if they apprenticed and went on and worked with someone after they got out of school, their average income averaged $82,039 a year. So it's a good opportunity, and I think it's probably the best opportunity today in the horse industry.
Mm-hmm. And you told me recently that there are very few schools in the U.S. that have a certification to support the military, transitioning military folks. Can you speak to that?
Well, we have been approved for GI training, yes, and I think that's a great thing for a man who served in the military or persons who served in the military. We have a number of women students as well. who have the interest in horses. They have the physical skill to be able to do the hard work that's required, and they want to. They're serious about it. They want to do a good job. They don't just want to go and school and fool around. Most of the time, people who've been in the military have grown up and matured and are anxious to get on with life and become good at what they do, and those are the kind of people we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Now, on that note, please tell us more about your students, maybe the demographics, where they come from, what makes a successful student and a successful
family? Well, we've had students from all of the United States and about 8 foreign countries since we've established the school just a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
3 years ago exactly. But we have a list of things that we think are important traits for farriers, and the first three start with P.
Okay.
Perseverance, persistence, and patience. You got to be able to stay with it until you get it done, and it doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
And the patience is a very important part because you got to have patience with the horses and patience with the clients, because a lot of them don't know very much about horses, and then patience with yourself, because it takes a long time to learn this and get really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Those are great traits. Now, also, you and I both know that loving horses and having the three P's is scratching the surface, but they're also running a business afterwards. Can you speak to that?
Yes, we think it's very important that they have the discipline to learn the skill and finish the job. They have the honesty to be honest with themselves and teachers and with other people.
Mm-hmm.
A big desire to improve, curiosity, they're hardworking, and last of all, I think it's important they have some talent. Particularly entrepreneurial talent. Not everybody can manage their lives well enough to be a self-employed entrepreneur. If you don't have that ability, you're probably better off to have a salary job. But
Do
this job, you've got to be a self-starter. You've got to be able to get up and go and do it even when you don't feel very good.
So, Doug, can you tell us about your school then? What is it? How do you structure your school? How do you provide the kind of training for students that will help them be successful in this career?
Well, Jacob and I have both taught schools all the way from 2 weeks to 2 years. And we have found that really if you focus and concentrate, assign homework every day as we do, and have a system, that we can train the students in 6 weeks' time and they can learn as much as they can in a course that might be a semester or even a year long.
Uh-huh.
And so we really pack a lot into a short period of time. And many people can't get away from their jobs or from their work or their families for more than just a few weeks at a time. And so we've designed it that way. We have 2 6-week courses, a sort of a beginning or foundation course, and then we have an advanced or specialized course. And some choose to take them both together, and others, if they don't have a job or that type of thing, they can get away. But others who have jobs, they break it up and come in various segments to finish the courses.
Excellent. Now, I know from being out there and visiting your school, it's pretty big. I mean, we're not just talking a one-room schoolroom at the back of a mobile at the back of your home there. You've got quite an investment in that arena. Can you describe the facilities, the location?
Yes, we are located between Chadron and Crawford, Nebraska. It's a farming country, beef cattle country. We happened to find this place at auction. It was a former cutting horse facility, and it's very top drawer. It's all steel frame building with a large arena, about 150 by 300 or so. It has a wing that comes off of that, so everything is under one roof. So we have this really nice dormitory area and classroom area. It's all connected to the big arena and to the area where we have the forges and where we shoe the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And makes a very nice facility and protects us from the weather, whether it's winter or summer. It doesn't make much difference. The weather's always the same inside the building.
Mm-hmm. So do you do field trips? Do you put people on buses or let them go into town and rowdy it up on the weekends?
That's something other schools do, and we don't do that. We have the people bring horses to us, and we also have on our property over 100 horses that the students work on. So unlike other schools where they may do that, where they may take a field trip for all day to shoe a few horses. We don't do that. We do shoe some horses off of the property, but they're very close by.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people here bring their horses here, and some of them from several hours away.
Yeah, very good. So now I've been reading on your website some of the testimonials from your students, and do you have a couple that you can think of? Maybe if you want to name names and give them some PR, you certainly can, but you don't have to. Some of your most successful students, and can you think about maybe a horror story, one that really went wrong?
I think probably the best thing to do would have people look at those testimonies on the website, because the students themselves said the things that they said about them. We've had some very good students, and some of them are very successful and making a lot of money. But the interesting thing about our school compared to many others is that almost all of the attendees that we've had here are shoeing horses full-time and making a living.
Excellent.
Whereas at many other schools, only a small percentage. I know when I was teaching in the university, I estimated it was less than 5% of the students who went out in 5 years were still shoeing horses.
Wow.
But because we only admit students who are very serious about it and are disciplined and are willing to follow the rules and do the work, we don't seem to get the people who just want to fool around and...
So you get the cream of the crop, basically. You get
the idea, yeah.
You get the all-stars coming your way. That's great. Again, you've got such an extensive background, not only by teaching and running your school, but you're also a published author, right?
Yes, I've published a number of books, most of them in this field. We have the major textbook that's used in this field. The first one came out in 74, and then I published a second edition in 85, and then the last edition is in 04, which my son Jacob joined with me in making that one. But in the meantime, I've done a lot of other books too. I did one on six-figure shoeing, which is a business book on developing business skills. I did one on shoeing your right mind, which is a book on visualizing and learning how to see shoe form and foot shape.
Mm-hmm.
I started out with my first little pamphlet in 1964 when I was teaching at Montana State, and I've had several small pamphlets I've done in between, one on horse-foot care for horse owners,
mm-hmm.
and then one recently with Dr. Gravely from Alabama. I did one on Founder, Laminitis and Founder. All of these are available on our commercial website, which is DougButler.com. And those books, and as well as our videotapes and DVDs, are available on that website.
Excellent. So great resources. I think I would probably say, if it were me considering this career, I'd probably go to your site, read your articles, and also I understand you have a blog going now.
Yeah, and on the blog, what we've tried to do is bring out some of the questions that horse owners frequently have, farriers frequently have, and then answer those questions and then get feedback from people who have had experiences with those things. A lot of the material that I've generated over the years has been in response to questions that have been come as I was editor in Equus Magazine or the American Farrier Journal for a number of years. So I'm beginning to take that material and apply it to everyday questions that horse owners have now.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's a great resource. I think from being on there and poking around a little bit, I've seen some great comments from people, which is always helpful to get some personal perspectives on the things you've written. And so, Doug, are there any final key messages that you would like to get across to folks who are listening to this call, any things that you feel are really burning issues they need to know about you?
Well, I think they need to understand why we and other people go into the farrier craft. I mean, part of the reason is that you can make a good living and have a business that you run yourself, but a lot of it is because we really believe in the health of the horse, and the feet are first.
Mm-hmm.
We advocate the humane treatment of horses, and we stress competent farrier work, and we try to push that in everything that we do in order to really raised the standard of living for the horse, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
As a young boy, my mother instilled that in me, that it's important to take care of horses and do the best you can for them.
Yeah. Well, I think every one of us can support that, and I suppose if you take care of them, they'll take good care of you too, right?
Yeah, that's the idea. That's how I kind of got it. That's how I got into this in the first place, and I wrote the curriculum for many of the schools that are now working, and of course the books that they use. And the main thing I think that's really different about our school than a lot of the others is we do the teaching. A lot of the other schools delegate this to past students or people who stay on, and we believe that we have a system and we know how to do it, and so we do the teaching, and I think that makes us different.
Excellent. That would be my preference. If I was going to go to the master, I'd want to have the master up front teaching me. Your sons obviously have gained that reputation and credential at this point with the experience that they have as well. So, Doug, again, how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to get more information?
Our website is www.butlerprofessionalfarrierschool.com, all one word. Mm-hmm. And email is doug@dougbutler.com. And our phone number is 308-665-1510. Or if they're in the United States, they can dial an 800 number, 1-800-728-3826.
Excellent. And I'm going to throw out there the URL, the domain name for your new blog, which is butlerhorseshoeingschools.com. That's schools, plural, .com. And Doug, I want to thank you for your time today. I think this information is helpful for anyone if they know someone that wants to raise their skills as a farrier or someone who is looking for a new career opportunity. Or someone maybe just a horse owner, right, who needs a little bit more knowledge about how to take care of their horses.
Yeah, we have people who come just to learn how to shoe their own horses, and most of the time we convert them and they wind up becoming professional farriers. So that's good.
Very good. Well, Doug, thank you again for your time today. It's been a real pleasure to have you on this call. And again, I encourage listeners to go to butlerprofessionalfarrierschool.com. Give Doug and his sons a call and check out the industry for yourself. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you very much, Laura.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.